from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Crossing Fences. African-American boys and young men creating oral history showcasing the lives and accomplishments of local African-American men.
I grew up here in Homestead and grew up in the steel mill days, so a lot of steel mills.
Flesh and blood principalities, battle over spiritual policies, thinking that the one is going to follow.
We were responsible for our community. You know, we say we need help, but we got to learn how to help ourselves.
A lot of people who are pioneers and icons who got us to where we are today because they used their brains. If they used their fists, we would never have heard about them.
From anesthesiologists to barbershop owners, entrepreneurs to engineers, and coaches to deacons, over 170 men have been interviewed. Today, let's hear from Daryl Baldy Goodwine, age 46 at the time of this interview.
My birthday is January 24th, 1970. I grew up in Northview Heights, born and raised. I moved up in Northview in 1970 when I was born. I left Northview, I say, like 1990. I have a huge family. I have over, it's eight of us, four boys, four girls. I'm the youngest out of the eight. We did everything as a family. I was taught, you know, family morals is the biggest thing to me. You know, I believe in family. It's all, that's what I live for, is my family. I live for the kids that I work with. What I do now is to support my family and make sure my kids and the kids I work with had the right guideline, that they have a chance, an opportunity to get out of the negativity and do positive things in life. And my mother raised me alone. And I believe she did one heck of a job. I thank her to the day. She's passed, rest in peace. But without her, I wouldn't be the man that I am today. My mother had me late. She didn't know she was having me. She went to the hospital, thought she had a tumor, and poof, Baldy popped out. Came out bald head. My poppy's grandmother named me Baldy, and that name stuck with me ever since then. When I was growing up, it was a family. Like they said, take a village to raise a kid, and that's what it was. We was a big village up in North. We was the one. We was a unity. There was no parent in Northview that couldn't discipline me. If you was from Northview, all parents were allowed to discipline their kids. And that's what made everybody a close-knit family. We were a family. My belief in the shift of things is we have a lot of young parents. When we were kids, it wasn't no gangs. All we had to do is get up, go to school, and do what we supposed to do, and everything worked. It was one community. We had our own baseball league. We had eight teams for baseball. We had eight teams for basketball where we didn't have to go outside the community. Now it's a lot harder for you guys because the community don't work as one. Me and a couple of my friends, we were at a basketball game up on the Hill District. We were leaving the basketball game, sitting in the car. We had a little altercation with a couple of guys. One guy showed a gun. We tried to get out the way as fast as we could, but by the time we got to our cars, they start firing. My friend got shot. He got shot in his head. He was only 16 years old. I think I was 21 at that time. And that's something that sticks with me to this day because I actually seen a friend of mine pass away. When I went to IUP, my girlfriend got pregnant, and it was a choice I had to make. Do I want to stay in school? Do I want to come home and support my family? It was a struggle. But I left school so I could become a father and raise my kids. So I went back to school. But at that time, I left so I could provide for my family. When I first left school, that was like the toughest thing I had to do because I had to call my mom and say, "Mom, I'm coming home." I didn't know how she would take it. It was very hard. She said, "You can come home, but you're not going to stay in this room, in this house too long. You will come home, you will get a job, you will get back into another school." When I first come home, I was a coordinator at the community house across the street, which is called Urban Impact now. That was the first job I ever had working with kids. And once I started working there, I knew this is what I wanted to do. Since I was a kid, I wanted to be a coach. So this was like an outreach. I'm not a coach now, but I'm making a difference in many kids' life doing the same thing as a coach would do. I'm not a football coach, I'm not a basketball coach, but I'm a life coach, teaching life skills. What inspired me, Reggie Ward, giving back to the community. When I was young, it was rough up in Northview, and he gave me choices. And he gave me a way I can be this way or I can go that way, and I took the good path. He was like a father to the community. His kids had to share us as if we was one of them. He treated me like he treated his own kids. And he made me want to do the work I do today. My first job was a summer job. I worked up in Northview Heights, actually cleaning the neighborhood, cutting the grass and everything. After I came home from school, I was on the street and I needed a job. I put an application and nobody would hire me. I went and I put an application to be a CNA, a nurse's aide. People looked at me like, "You mean to tell me you're going to be a CNA?" I said, "Hey, it pays. Whatever it takes. It's a job. It's consistent. And there's always people that's going to need help, so it's always a job there. Work hard, pitch a man or something, you can do it. Like one time, I was on the street, but I wanted to change my life to become a better person. I've realized working is the key. If you're working, you got an income, it's a positive thing. My goal is moving forward to get as many kids as possible into something positive off the street to make sure that my kids and my family is moving forward and just make a difference. I mean, it feels so good when you know that you're making a difference in somebody's life. I just want to see our community get back where it was. Let's get the love back and let everything else go. With the way people are listening, there's not going to be no young black African men out here in a minute. So you want to have a productive life. You want people to remember you as something positive, as the way I remember my mentor, Reggie Ward.
This oral history was collected by youth interviewers Tyrese Archie and David Giles. Crossing Fences is made possible by the Heinz Endowments and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at slbradio.org.